If something has been given to you, or if it's in your possession, then the choice has been given to you. You don't need approval, but sometimes it helps. And me just sort of saying that to someone, I said, if it's sitting in a drawer, that was not the intended position for it. And if you will wear and enjoy it, and it will bring joy and connection, this is why I love jewelry. It's because of the meaning. And the fact that when you put metal on your skin, it literally conducts energy. So if you wrap that up with a milestone, an achievement, a memory, a connection to a person, that's it's felt on your skin.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week we have a special soul, someone who's actually already been on the show, but because of my own personal experience of going through a whole beautiful therapeutic process with her in having some old jewelry transformed and made into something that truly has sparked the most amazing amount of joy, I wanted to invite the beautiful Vanessa Nock back onto the program to share the story. She specializes in custom design and manufacturing of fine jewelry for 28, no accidents there, for 28 passionate years. She has been hand-making jewelry for clients with a deep, deep connection. She creates quality pieces to commemorate special occasions, memories, milestones, and even for the reason to spark joy. She brings their story, energy, and emotion into every one of her sculptures to hold, admire, and enjoy. She takes you on a journey to bring a vision to life and allows you to have what your heart truly desires. She calls this process magical, starting with a conversation and a hand-drawn sketch, choosing all the details and carefully creating the sculpture and precious metal. She presents the finished piece, and that, the reveal, is always a highlight for her. Vanessa feels very blessed to be a part of so many life moments which she has created treasured symbols for. To her, jewelry is a moment frozen in time. She helps you to cure your curiosity for your forever after creation. This unique golden sculpture becomes part of your legacy, and she helps you to find your uniqueness. I know you're going to love the story today. We both uncovered many beautiful gems, excuse the pun, in this interview. And I personally have found a whole new way of experiencing wearing such a beautiful piece of jewelry, where I have been able to take a hold of my past pieces of jewelry that was sitting in my drawer, doing nothing, not being worn, transforming them and putting them through a process to then create something that truly has gone beyond my wildest expectations. I cannot wait for you to hear her story and how she did this. And I really hope you get to enjoy hearing us both be so delighted and excited with the outcome. If you'd like to place a comment or feedback, please head on over to my Instagram page, Kim Morrison and the number 28, Facebook page, Kim Morrison Training. You can head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/selflovepodcast. Please continue to give a 5-star rating to the show. It really does help us to get out there and into the ears of many. And I thank you wholeheartedly, publicly, to 28 Essentials for sponsoring this show. It really does inspire me to bring on such incredible guests and share with you each week beautiful quickies that I hope fill your hearts, heads, minds with beautiful inspiration so that you too can live a life of beautiful love, kindness, happiness, joy, and care. I look forward to sharing this with you and cannot wait to hear your feedback. Take care, be kind. Well, it's not often we get a guest on the show that comes back for a second time. But when you get to experience something personally with a person and you actually get to be on the receiving end of their craft, I just had to bring the beautiful Vanessa Nock back to the Self Love podcast because I myself personally have shared an incredible journey with her over the last few months. And I just thought, what a perfect opportunity to share our story. So welcome back to the show, beautiful Vanessa Nock.
Oh, thank you so much for the invite back. I wish you could see how happy my heart is right now listening to that.
Oh, look, it's just been an amazing journey. And for the listener, if you're interested, go back to show 314, where we talked about Forever After Creations with our beautiful Vanessa. But I wanted to bring you back, sweetheart, because I just feel so personally attached to what you did with me and what you created for me. And before we touch into that, if someone hasn't listened to show 314, just tell us a little brief insight again as to what brought you into the jewelry business again.
So I was in high school and I did manual arts. I was the only girl in my class, but what we did was a welding course through TAFE, which led me into something very foreign from where I probably ever expected myself to be, but basically was the very, very beginning of leading into a skill set that I completely enjoyed with welding, and a teacher actually telling me that this is a skill set he thought I should pursue, which led to me thinking how could I actually utilize it, and I literally fell into the jewelry trade.
Can I just ask you, in the welding world, I mean, I just see someone with a big metal mask and a big fire gun going off, very masculine, very yang,
very
energy
masculine.
Like, I'm just curious as to what made you go welding but jewelry?
Well, it's soldering, which is a form of how we combine the actual metals, is basically a refined form. And if you know what my studio looks like, it's very feminine, but it has this amazing, vision of the behind the scenes. And that's what I truly love sharing with people is, you know, we sit in a beautiful, basically, section of the studio where it literally looks like a jewelry shop in my home.
It sure does.
Absolutely.
It sure does. And it's so pretty.
It is like, so pretty.
But I have to say to you, Vanessa, even the part where you do all the jewelry making, the welding, the soldering, all of that, even that looks pretty. How the heck did you make something so metalworky look so beautiful?
I color-coded my hammers, which helps. They're spray-painted rose gold.
Believe me, that's
not a normal practice for most jewelers, but it helps because I've got a little bit of OCD in my personality, which is great for my craft.
Look, I just, when I came in there, well, actually, let me take you back. We had you in my beautiful self-love and wellness mentorship group, and you were actually in your room. And then you turned the camera around, and I think everyone in that private group was just so blown away. But I love the fact that you've brought the real element of feminism in there, that real feminine element. Could you explain to us, is it a common thing for women to be jewelers? What's your take on that? And what's the industry like as a whole?
Well, it certainly has always been male dominated. It's actually a trade. So I'm not your typical looking tradie. I've had a few apprentices myself, more girls sort of later as they were sort of finishing. There's a lot of sales and designers that are female predominant, but the trades, there's lots of contractors in the jewelry industry where they're not actually in a store, they work from their home too. But I love, you know, the initial contact. Like, I definitely, to be able to speak to the person that is making the jewelry is a little rarer, shall we say that. So I love the whole process from beginning to end, where I get to have that initial conversation with someone that's interested. And even if they have no idea about what they want to do, I do most of the time specialize in literally looking at people's jewelry boxes and seeing, you know, what sparks joy and I love hearing the stories of those pieces and being able to help someone think of an idea of how we can actually bring that story and keep it as part of the new creation. Yeah. So it's that's and it's so funny that I have always done exactly what I do. And when I really sit down and I think I just do what I do so naturally, and then I'm like, what am I actually doing? Like, how am I not so much just different, but how do I think the gentle care of listening, but not just listening, it's hearing. That's a whole deeper level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's funny you should say this because I was about to ask you, what is uniqueness's point of view, point of difference? What is it that makes you different? You just said it then. There is a gentle care, which, you know, anyone can put on. Anyone can do and act or seem caring. Anyone can look like they're listening. But to really hear it and take it to another level, because, well, let's talk about my experience. You're really putting your trust into someone. I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know how it would look or how to turn it into something. Let's take the listener on my journey with you, because I think this will explain your uniqueness a little bit more. Sure. But I just want the listener to know that I was listening to Vanessa speak on my self-love group, that she talked about pieces of jewelry sitting in your jewelry box, doing nothing, not wearing it or even putting it on. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, I've got a few pieces like that. I didn't even think I had that much expensive jewelry, to be honest with you. And then I looked at this chain that Danny bought, and he just reminded me the other day that he'd bought that in Perth, in a jewelry shop in Perth. And it was this beautiful gold chain that he used to wear when he was playing cricket so that he could put his wedding rings on it so that he wasn't wearing them per se. And we had that, and then I had another ring with three types of gold in it and a couple of other little bits and bobs. And you just said to me one day, why don't you just bring it all over, anything you're not wearing? What do you do when you see all of that sitting in front of you? Talk us through what you then look at and what you're wondering and how you're going to listen and truly hear what the person is wanting when they don't even know what it is that they want.
Absolutely. And I mean, look, I do ask a lot of questions, but it's interesting that we do know even without knowing what the final piece will look like. So I literally break it down. And what we do is find out what pieces you're really connected to, right? So we've all probably collected a bit of jewelry where it's an odd earring and things like that. So what we can do with that is, because of the idea that you thought you'd like something for your wrist, then the volume of gold obviously was a little bit higher and you did have that. So we looked at really that chain because it had actually been worn by your husband and it actually carried his wedding ring. It kept it safe. What a beautiful connection for you to actually still be wearing. Do you know, like that? So like that part was basically the core of your bracelet. Yeah. And because you're so drawn to the, you know, rose quartz and pinks, like it's obviously, it's a symbol of love, which is a huge part of you because you ooze that. adding rose gold to that was actually bringing you and him together.
That's,
you know what I mean? And now that's actually entwined on your piece. And we probably haven't verbally done that, but that's what I feel and that's what I see. And in that, you'll fall more in love with it as you wear it each day. Yeah. Do you know, like it was just nearly the birth of a new form.
And that's where I think about us as human beings. We are constantly evolving. We're never the same person. And I think what you gave me permission to do was to not feel guilty about recreating something from an old shape or form into something new that I actually wanted to wear. Does that come up a lot for you where people go, oh, I feel really bad melting this down or doing this?
It is definitely a conversation I have had many times. And I do think that if something has been given to you or if it's in your possession, then the choice has been given to you. You don't need approval, but sometimes it helps. And me just sort of saying that to someone, I said, if it's sitting in a drawer, that was not the intended position for it. And if you will wear and enjoy it and it will bring joy and connection, this is why I love jewelry. It's because of the meaning and the fact that when you put metal on your skin, it literally conducts energy. So if you wrap that up with a milestone, an achievement, a memory, a connection to a person, that's it's felt on your skin. Like, I've got a beautiful ruby ring. That's my dad's birthstone. And I created that for a shop where I worked many years ago. And I showed it to him because I really loved the stone. It was the most beautiful ruby I had ever laid my eyes on. And he passed away a little while after that. And I desperately wanted that ring to be something that I kept for me because I had made it and he had seen it and it had his birthstone in it. I can't hold him anymore, but I can hold that ring.
Oh, it kind of just hit me in the heart a little bit because so much jewelry or the fashion of jewelry or the look of jewelry changes with each generation. I know my grandmother's generations had a lot of that almost filigraphy type, very fine silver jewelry kind of leaves and shapes and flowers and very quite feminine and very almost too pretty. Whereas today we're a little bit more modern, we're a little bit more practical because our hands and our bodies are used probably in different ways. Maybe our grandparents' generation only put the jewelry on to go out.
Absolutely.
Whereas I wanted something to wear every day. And so I remember sitting there, just so that you know, beautiful listener, this gorgeous gold chain of Danny's, he wasn't going to wear it anymore. He felt like, I don't know, some drug lord wearing it still these days, but it just didn't feel right to us anymore. Yet there was a really good chunk of gold in there. But what was so fascinating is, and this is where I just find jewelry making so incredible, is that the stages and phases it went through to be broken down, melted, and remolded and reshaped. It almost, and I don't mean this to sound awful, but it kind of goes through an ugly phase, kind of goes through a very dirty, metalworky phase. And I found that really interesting because you didn't show me any of this till afterwards. Can you talk us through a little bit about what does it mean to melt something down? And maybe even before then, how do you know when someone brings it to you if it's real gold or if it's been gold plated? Or because, you know, sometimes we've been told it's something pretty special.
Absolutely. The process behind the scenes is not so glamorous. Like, what I love to do is definitely show that afterwards because it probably looks a little, it's not aggressive at all. It's just part of the process. When you see a big flame and some big hammers and things like that, it can look a little daunting. But it's lovely to actually share that. And I do like to show that journey of creation literally from each phase where it's literally sitting in the melting pot and you can see. And I did leave that out for you to physically see when you came to collect it. It's not always sitting out, but it's in some pretty big gear. It takes up a bit of space. So when you actually see that aspect, it really shows you how much work is actually involved in the transformation from a piece of jewelry, a gold chain, to literally melting it into a bar. And then it actually is rolled through what I call a rolling machine, which looks a bit like a pasta maker. It's got a big round handle and it can be adjusted for different sizes. And that is literally the process that every piece of metal, if it's a ring, you know, you change the form from a bar into whatever shape you're making. So, you know, and there's actually quite a lot of math. It's funny because math was never really my strong point. But while we're talking about behind the scenes, it is like, so, you know, the length and the weight and, you know, to fit your hand size, circumference and all that sort of thing. But I loved, especially as part of your process, that when I did video just a little part of the melt process, and then I did a screenshot at one point just to get a still photo. And that screenshot revealed a gold-shaped heart in the flame. And honestly, I didn't see it till I literally posted it. And a lovely lady that I know, she drew a little red heart around and said, there's a heart there. And I'm like, oh, my God, what a special, special moment. So even in that melting process, it's really, it's just part of that changing of form. And I feel like that's the real beauty behind this craft. And I adore this. It's such a tremendous old, you know, it's such an old skill. And I really love that I get to bring that that focus and that knowledge, because knowledge is a really big part of what I feel like my mission is to help educate people around jewelry. So back to your question about gold, whether, you know, honestly, by the weight and the feel, there are numbers inside pieces of jewelry to basically let you know what it is. So 750 means 18 carats, so it's 75% gold. Silver and copper are added to alloy the metal to actually harden it, because pure gold is very, very soft, 24 carat, too soft for wearing it like we do these days, especially. Like, fashion has literally changed because of the wearer. So it's gotten lower and wider and heavier and more solid than what it once did, because they really only wore it for very special occasions and they were rare. So we want to be able to enjoy the pieces that we have. And I am basically helping people have, you know, just that couple of pieces that they're really connected to and that's what they love to wear. And that also has to be practical. So that's a huge aspect that I focus on as well, which is probably, you know, if it's not comfortable, if it catches your hair, if it gets caught on things, it's got to also be practical. And then it feels easy to wear, which means it becomes part of you.
Do you know, your words you just said there was, this is an old skill, an old craft. Mm. There's not many industries, in my humble opinion, in this day and age, that still work off old skills or the craft of the hands-on, because so many machines, and I'm sure it's the same in your industry, there's lots of machines that can take over it. Would you say then every piece that you create, you say that metal conducts energy. There's a piece of you in every piece then too.
There's not just a piece of me. There's definitely a piece in my heart for sure. I really do connect, like, with each person that comes into my studio. I really do love, I suppose I want them to even leave feeling with the most amazing experience, that they were so involved, that this was a co-creation, because my inspiration comes from the person that's actually in front of me. A lot of people have said that, how can you come up with so many different ideas? And I said, it's inspired by the person in front of me and your connection, obviously, you know, to New Zealand, with a lot of the beautiful, you know, the carvings and the flow and the lines of very, you know, traditional arts and the craft from there. It was always going to have an organic movement and flow like that. And that's you, you know, like your love and what, you know, what you share with other people and the connection, it's the entwining of, and, you know, it's a symbol. It's just so symbolic. That's what jewelry is.
Yes. And I think what's so precious about our process, I mentioned to you how I love, for the listener, the koru, the emblem, the new, it's a curve in Māori carvings, which means new beginnings. And I thought that was kind of symbolic too, because as we mentioned just before, you know, sometimes you've got to go through this dark and dungy kind of place to transform this beautiful new piece into something new. I would love to say that we as human beings go through moments like this in our lives, when we've been knocked off our perch, when we've had bad news, when we've had to change, when we've lost someone, or just there's so many moments in life that are pivotal that change us forever. And I looked at this journey with you as a symbolic journey, a new journey coming into 2024, where I really wanted to have something that was for me, that I just felt like it brought all of my family, all of my past, all of my experiences, my home country, everything. And so how you masterfully put this together just blew me away. What was the intention, but how did you go? Like, I love rose gold, and yet this necklace was 18 karat gold. What made you come up with the idea of the rose gold koru kind of part of the bangle? Like, how did you make the two golds come together?
Well, we literally changed the form, obviously, of the chain. So that's obviously, and it was a beautiful 18 carat. So what you see when it's a higher purity, so more than 9 carat, obviously 18 carat, there's a higher content of gold, which is really the ideal mix of metals. A lot of people think that 9 carat is harder, which technically it's harder, but it's more brittle. So longevity. So the colour of the 18 carat and then adding the rose, you see that beautiful contrast a little bit more in the higher purities of metals. But combining colours of metals is actually a really beautiful complement to the metal. It's the contrast between two. A lot of the times it is two, but in all honesty, I literally looked back at my feed the other day and I've done a lot of three-tone lately, as in yellow, rose and white. And what a beautiful way, because you are drawn to the pink colours. It's a feminine energy and that's definitely a huge part of you. It made sense to add rose to a piece for you. And it combines all your jewelry as well, because you do have a beautiful rose quartz rose ring. And what a beautiful piece to combine the yellow gold jewelry that you had worn for a long time to with rose, that it really is the combiner or the combination of that, you know, that you can wear either, whatever you'd like to wear, it's sort of combined there.
Yes, and I love that as well. Just, again, I keep coming back to the human side of this, that we are constantly contrasting. We have negative and positive polarities. We have great days and not so great days. There's a dark side to each of us. There's a beautiful positive side to each of us. But the contrast of the two golds actually complemented each other so well. And it also reminds me, you know, for me personally, every time I look down at the bangle, I just see this beautiful, I almost see Danny as the yellow gold and me as the rose gold entwining around it. And it's just the most perfect balance, because the rose gold part of it was so much more finer. I'll put a picture in the notes for everybody. But the rose gold part was the finer part. And, you know, we've been married 31 years. We've gone through many highs and a number of lows. Life has changed and we've had two children. And I love the fact that there's two points to the end of this, which I also symbolically created around my children. I know we could make any story around it, but you captured something in me I didn't even realize I wanted to tell or share. And what blew me away, I just want the listener to know. So this was a process over a few months. I wasn't in a hurry, which made it even nicer. There wasn't like, and I think we talked about this off air, you don't need a special occasion to actually create a masterpiece or some sort of beautiful piece for yourself. Could you just talk us a little bit through why that's important to you, that we don't need, I mean, it's nice to, but why is it important to you that it's we are so important, we shouldn't make it around something?
That's right. Like, you know, there's so many beautiful milestones in life, you know, marriages and engagements and birthdays and anniversaries, which nearly feels, it's not an obligation by any means, but there doesn't have to be a reason for, like a date is more, a date, let's say that, more than a reason, because the very fact of the story that you explained, it's actually the reason is life and the fact that it brings you joy. That is a reason. There's no date for that. Let's hope that we celebrate that as many days as we possibly can. I see it a lot. Like there's nearly a little bit of guilt with a lot of people. And I think if only you knew how powerful this actually would be in your everyday. Like you look at that every day, and that's a source of empowerment and joy of your journey to where you are in this very moment. And what a beautiful reminder.
Mm. It's like an anchor. I was listening to an audio book the other day. Being an NLP practitioner, we often will use anchors. I love to use smell as an anchor, but I'd never thought about using jewelry as an anchor. And I have now chosen to use this piece of jewelry as my anchor. So we visualize how it is we want to be, what we want, how we want to live it, whatever it is, whatever your definition of success or whatever your goal is. And then you literally see it, feel it, hear it. What would you be seeing? What would you be feeling? What would you be hearing in order to have that success or that moment or that dream come true? And you have to really, really embody those three senses. And then you can use the bracelet or use the piece of jewelry as the anchor. And so I really did a full process with myself when I got this home. It took me about 30 minutes and I continuously anchored back to the bracelet. And so now, whenever I touch, look, see, or hear, or feel the bangle jangling, or I look down at it, or I see it, or someone comments on it, I get all those emotions come up for the dream and the visualization that I'm aiming for in this year. And so I just want you to know that I can now see that my work, I've often used smell, obviously oils, as an aromatic anchor for people to use this. But now I want to join forces with you and support people to say, let's use jewelry as a powerful form of anchoring into creating the future or the life that you dream of. And the fact that this piece for me has got a piece of so much of mine and Danny's journey throughout our life, I just feel like the energy in behind it now is having the synergistic effect where it was sitting in a drawer, Vanessa. It was sitting in a jewelry box and now it's alive, if that's the right word. And I've shown it. Danny hasn't even seen it in the flesh yet, but I keep showing it to him whenever we're talking. And I shared with him all of this and how it's now become my new anchor and about creating our future and what we hope to achieve and all of these sorts of things. And so I just want to say thank you for giving me the gift of realizing there's another aspect, another part of my work. And so now I'm going to have a number of my clients going, okay, we need to create a piece of Vanessa jewelry. You're going to have to go and see Ness and you're going to have to get a piece made, because we're going to make this your new anchor. But is that something you'd actually even really considered about your pieces, that they are incredible anchors?
Absolutely. I feel like that's probably something that it was probably hard to even articulate. It is hard sometimes to articulate the feeling, the energy, the emotion. I've always talked about a deeper connection. So that is definitely something I'm on board with. And I love that's brought, you know, newfound joy to you. That is abs. That's epic.
Yeah, and it's a constant reminder. I tell you, the other thing that was quite incredible was the day I came. Now, I was nervous and excited because I'll be honest with you, I didn't say this to you, but my biggest fear was, what if I opened the box and I didn't like it? How am I going to fake this? How am I going to, like, it's cost a bit of money. It's cost you a lot of time. It's like, what if I didn't like this? Have you ever had a situation where someone's opened that box and gone, ooh, that's not what I wanted?
You know, I've never. In 28 years, that's a pretty good record, to be honest. And this is why I ask so many questions. We do not step forward until I am 100% confident that you can, as much as you can. Like, honestly, if you look at the drawing that I did for you, how much is it exactly like what you're actually wearing? I can't, like, I literally, and it's not, I don't spend hours on the drawing. It is really, it's a concept sketch. But if you like the concept, you will love the finished product. And once you physically put it on, like that moment, we did absolutely capture that moment. And I loved your reaction. It was breathtaking. You're nearly speechless. Those sorts of things. It's that very moment when you, like, it's that reveal moment that I so desperately adore, that process, like that part of the journey.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me, like, as a marriage celebrant, when a groom turns around and sees the reveal, the reveal of the dress, and sees his bride coming down the aisle, that moment I actually can't articulate. I can't put into words. And the minute her eyes touches and locks eyes with his, there's a moment that it's inexplainable. The only thing I can say is it's one of the highest vibrations, the most highest energy you could ever, ever measure. And of course, love is the highest measure. I honestly felt like it was a reveal like that. Like, that's how in love with it I instantly felt. And it was such a surprise because I knew it was going to be beautiful, but I actually didn't know how you were going to make that drawing a reality. I really didn't. Yeah. I didn't. It's all very good and well to draw it, but to then actually make it and make it even better than the drawing.
Absolutely. I've actually got a magic wand. No, I'm just joking.
Does it ever change for you throughout the process? And do you have to let the person know? Or have you ever had moments where you've gone, actually, I can see this, but I'm going to make it even more? Like,
I, yeah. So obviously, you know, I, I, we met, we had a look at what you had, and I literally did do that drawing whilst you were sitting in front of me. And I do love that, because that's, I suppose that is an insight for the person sitting in front of me to just to see what happens, because I'm actually seeing it, a vision of it, and I'm literally putting it on paper so that you can share the same vision, because it's your piece. It's what I have heard and asked questions, and what I've learned as we've talked and connected and laughed and maybe cried. That's all part of that. And that's what I wanted to do, is really create a space where people felt safe and at ease to feel the feelings of whatever that might be, you know, in a private space. And how often do we really get to connect with one person, one-on-one, with no interruptions? It's a very special time. I feel I'm really, really happy, and I've worked really hard to create the space that I have, and I'm really proud of it as well, and I love sharing it.
Oh, so, I see that.
Thank you. I have all the confidence in the world. Honestly, like I say, when everyone comes to the front door for that pickup, for the reveal, and I am giddy with excitement at that point. So I ask people, and I just naturally did. I don't even think about it. I just do it. Are you excited? I said the same thing, and you went, yes. Little hesitation, because I'm like, as long if you show me how excited you are, I can really show you the level of excitement that I have. But it's just such a beautiful part to play in that journey, to make that drawing a reality for you with the metal that has been collected, and adding something new, and really bringing it out of the darkness into the light of joy in every single day. I love the journey that we've been on, and thank you so much for choosing me to do that for you.
I tell you, again, I come back to the work that I do. The unconscious mind actually has all the answers within. We actually have a deep innate knowing. It just gets mucked up with experiences or other people's opinions or our beliefs or our limitations or our unconscious, unknowing, unresolved traumas, or things that have occurred through life. So we actually all have this magicness within us. And I was reading another book not long ago that said every single thing that you look at was once in someone's mind, right? So in order for us to have the house, an architect sat down and visualized after listening to everything you wanted, and they drew the concept. I'm looking out my window now and seeing a shed. That was once someone's concept. It was a concept in someone's mind. They put down on paper or into the computer. It then went through its process, and then it became a reality. So to have someone like you that sees it before we see it, even though our unconscious mind already deeply, innately knows there's something, consciously we may not know, but unconsciously we do. Otherwise, I don't think we would have ever come to you in the first place. And I just want everyone to understand that concept that you drew, it's almost like you oozed out onto paper my thoughts, but I didn't even have to ask you to correct it. That's what was so weird. Like, so I have to say this, and again, I'm finding it hard to find the words. I don't know what I want, but I probably know more what I don't want.
Exactly.
And so your questioning, your line of questioning, your connection, again, some people will say to me as a coach or a mentor, how did you know that? How did you go there? I'm guided by you. And so I've seen such an analogy and a similarity in the two pieces of work, because I basically get to ruffle you up, put you through the darkness, and shine the light on the cave of darkness that you thought was too scary to look at. And we go through this transformational process. We try it on, we try it out there in the real world, until we rub you so shiny and bright and new that you can go out there and be that bright, beautiful new piece, that transformed part of you, because we're never the same person. But what is so beautiful about, and this is what I think is so beautiful about a bangle in particular, is that it is constantly moving on my wrist. And so I get to see different parts of the bangle with the gold at different times. And I found myself making new stories with each time I look down at it, or I'll see the end piece of it. And you even said that to me, I've made it in a way that it doesn't matter where it falls on your wrist. There's a beautiful element to it. Now, I've even decided there's a right way to wear it. I don't know why. Like, I could easily put it on one way and have the koru shaping the other way. But it's funny, I've anchored into what feels right to me to have it in a certain way. I'm curious to know, the bangles move. Earrings, maybe if they're dangle, they do a bit more, but more studs or a ring that literally does sit on your finger. How do you bring that movement or that energy into a more static piece that maybe doesn't move so much as a bangle does on your wrist? What's your thinking around that?
So look, it's actually a golden sculpture. Like I'll actually introduce myself as a professional puzzle maker because they do need to fit very well. And that's how I see them. I actually see them as a 3D, three-dimensional creation where, you know, I've even, recently made a beautiful ring for a lovely lady, and the original diamond from the very first piece of jewelry that her husband gave her, and they've been married for 25 years, we hid that underneath the actual setting. So that was there for her. It wasn't actually part of the top. It was underneath like a secret hidden little special diamond. So even though it may not move on your hand, and it has like, a ring certainly has literally a top generally, where a stone is the feature, things like that, it can be, you still see your hand from the back. So it might, like your bangle certainly moves around your wrist, but even, the backs of the earrings and the comfort of that, like that, all those different elements, I love the movement of, longer earrings. I think I never really wore many long earrings, but the movement of them and the feeling of them moving in your ears, like it's the relationship we have with the way we wear jewelry as well. There's things that people like and then things that people don't like. And that's why each piece has an element of what suits you best and in your life. So all of those questions, I feel like I probably didn't realize how interested I am in people and behavior and all those sorts of things. Whereas I've been learning about, how different people, the way they like things. So that's why I ask so many questions, which is unpeeling those layers that if you had a choice between this and this, what would it be? Two things. That's what I break. It's the simple questions to actually get to the bigger ones and the deeper ones. And it's revealed literally within yourself. So that process is something over 28 years I've been asking people questions that I've learnt that most people either like things that are geometric, square, edgy, modern, or they fit into another category where it's soft and flowing and, asymmetrical, balanced but not mirror image. You can like both. I love both. It might depend on what mood I'm in. But most people either like, squares or circles. But some people can't stand the idea of something not being in the middle and it's slightly to the top and not to the bottom. So it's really fine indicators that I've learned on what path to take possibly with someone as I'm doing designs. So that's a really big part of, I think, what my uniqueness actually is understanding the person in front of me and really making sure that I'm ticking boxes that they may not even know that are actually there, but helping them see. And that's when you go, oh, my gosh, this, like, literally fits like a glove, or should I say a ring? boom, boom. But it's a lovely way. And if I can actually help people find their uniqueness, that's actually a really big part of my soul's purpose.
And just so people know, that uniqueness, NESS, is the name of your business with your Vanessa, the uniqueness. I love it. I love it. Your interest in people and behavior, isn't that fascinating? I'm interested in people and behavior. And it's just, I've never thought about how similar having a piece of jewelry personally made for you is the same as going through a personal coaching session. It is therapeutic, and there is an element of letting go of the past and creating and changing and formulating anew. And I think that's what I really loved about this whole journey. You didn't make it into something it wasn't. That probably doesn't make sense. You reshaped it into something it already was, but according to my personality, my age, my time of my life, whatever. So the form can change, but the essence doesn't.
And it's that element. It's the element of connection that stayed within it. You still feel connected to it in a new form.
Yes. Element of connection. So let's talk about if someone's listening to this, and I think we did mention it in our last podcast, but I want to revisit now having experienced it, because I would love to think everyone listening to this would get this beautiful opportunity. You may have to close your books at some point, but what I would love to ask you is, what's the process? Because I didn't even realize I had jewelry there that needed to be done. Could you walk us through what is the process of getting from this unworn but pre-loved jewelry, transforming it into something that now sparks joy?
It is literally, honestly, opening the box and seeing what's in there. A lot of people don't realize how much value they actually have, especially with gold prices the way they are at the moment. Like I said, we find out what you're connected to. I had a beautiful lady in the studio just yesterday who admired a ring on a lady I had made a piece for. Obviously, that sparked a conversation. She started to follow my socials and just loved seeing the behind the scenes and the process and the transformation. And she actually said, I have a few pieces that I would love to just combine. So she said, I feel like I've got too many rings. I'd just like to make one extra special one. But she'd also like to create a few pieces that she could leave as part of her legacy to her children. So that's what we literally spoke about yesterday. And she sent me, yesterday afternoon, she sent me a message to say she'd already spoken to her son about something that I'd suggested that might work. And she goes, I love that idea. And she goes, so I'm still on a high. And I just went, oh, that was such beautiful feedback. Like late in the afternoon, she's still thinking about what we spoke about that morning. And we had a lovely conversation and we chatted about life and the journey and the history and the story. So it's really just giving yourself some space and some time to really look in there. And we literally have a look through it. We share some stories when we do that. And we literally go, well, what we would focus on firstly is maybe, you know, this direction. This is probably. And sometimes we have a bit of a plan, like there might be a couple of pieces, which is lovely. But we start with what you're most connected to. And it's just all conversation.
I think what happened after hours, because I realized you didn't use everything that I'd given you. And then what's happened is it sparked joy for another piece. And this time it's a ring. Now, you wear a very special ring. And this is where I find what you do is so unique, is that when you want to make a statement or you want to wear the whole schmozzle, this ring is actually in parts, yet it doesn't look like it when you're wearing it. What makes you think down that pathway? How do you turn something that it just blows me away, because your ring, when it's in all its pieces, is amazing, but then you can make it very simple as well. Where did you get that inspiration to do that? Because I don't see that very often.
No, well, it is. So it's actually a two-part ring. So it's my wedding set. The band in the middle, which is rose gold, literally when you take it off your finger, comes out of the back, so I can just wear the middle section, whereas the other section sits above. My husband calls it the second story, which is really cool, and I love that. So that's what I say, it's literally next level. I just love the concept of obviously wearing a pretty spectacular piece. It's been great for my career because I love showcasing things that you have never seen before. That's usually where I like to take people, and we can always come back to something that you're, you know, very classic things are still really, really beautiful. But I like to show people something that they've never seen. I think that it's really expanding the imagination. That's what I feel like. I like to take people to a Never Never Land. So my ring is something that I'd never even made before too. So I literally finished it 3 days before I got married, but I do love pieces that literally, I wanted to showcase the beautiful love I share with my husband in a spectacular symbol. So I wanted to make it as spectacular as I could. So it does fill my whole knuckle. It is literally my golden sculpture. It's extra, extra special. It took a ridiculous amount of time. People ask me how long, and I'm like, I ended up not counting. Like, it took me forever, literally. But it's something for me. And I have done variations of it. I actually call it now, because it's become a bit of a signature piece. I call it a signature duo, because it's two parts. And I don't know. I don't even know how to explain it.
I don't either. It's just spectacular. Look on her socials. It's freaking amazing. Yeah. And that's another element that I love that you do. You can make a piece into two pieces, but it doesn't look like it's two pieces. That's what's so amazing. You know, going through our jewelry box, looking at everything, taking the time to actually visualize or imagine a piece that would spark so much joy for you to wear is an act of self-love. Now, I asked you in the last recording, what is your definition of self-love? Neither of us have looked up what you said, but I'd be curious to know right here, right now, is there a definition you have for self-love right now?
There absolutely is. I know previously it was connected to this, slightly different words, but it's consciously filling your life with moments that make you smile from your heart.
That's so beautiful. And I think that's exactly perhaps the byline of your business, where you are definitely consciously helping people fill their life with so much joy and so much happiness and just such an appreciation for what we have got, and realizing we don't have to go and get more. We've actually got it all there. It just might need reframing, remaking, recreating. I would just love to ask you, if someone wanted to follow up, because I know I had a number of messages from people before saying, oh my gosh, I'd love to have Ness make me something. I'm worried about how much it'll cost, or I'm worried about this, that, and the other. You offer a conversation to get things started. And it doesn't have to, as you said, doesn't have to be by a date. We can start the conversation like that woman you just talked about. I've been on a high since our first meeting. So, and now I'm thinking about the next thing I can make.
It can be a little addictive.
I know. I'd rather this addiction than tattoos, put it that way. So talk to us a little bit about that. If someone's listening to this and they're going, actually, you know what, I should have the conversation.
Absolutely. I encourage you deeply. I love the knowledge and the education part too. Like, that's a really big part of my mission. And I would love to, you know, I always have a chat with someone on the phone. That's generally where it starts, is an inquiry, and however that might come, always say, you know, like, let's have a chat about, you know, what you have or where you'd like to start and things like that. So I can be, you know, just that little bit more prepared for our initial consultation, so that we can, you know, work through what we can and having a look at that, like, literally sorting what is gold, what is not gold. You know, what the lady I spoke to yesterday, beautiful black onyx ring that her grandmother had. And I said, like, what I would do is suggest is just repolishing the surface of the stone, and this could go into a beautiful gent's ring. She goes, my son would love that. He was really close to his grandma. And I said, he can be involved in that. Like, if you say, like, you want silver, you want gold, you know, it could be quite masculine. It could be a pendant. Like, whatever that might look like, it's really just thinking, actually, what would I like? And sitting in that moment, it's just a conversation, which I'm always willing to have.
And I think the other thing you said last time, or if not off the air, is that we can then do Zoom calls so that we can literally look in your jewelry box together. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So you don't have to be on the Sunshine Coast to experience this, do you?
No, we can absolutely start there. Sometimes if it's obviously ring, getting finger sizes and things like that, but we can work around that. That's no worries.
Yeah. And hey, listener, just an excuse to come to the sunny coast, you know, the world's best utopia place on the planet.
I was just going to say that. It's a really good excuse to come to the Sunshine Coast and be in the studio.
And the reveal is where I find the magic. It's just amazing. I just personally, wholeheartedly, humbly, and publicly want to thank you for the journey you took me on. It's beyond making this bangle. It's taken all of my past. It's brought about all the things that we've been through, transformed through, grown through, and now created something that is my anchor to create the future that we wish, as well as reminding me, because every day I look at it and wear it, it's a reminder to be in the very moment, the present. And I think that's where I'm really looking now at jewelry as such an incredible metaphor and such a beautiful anchoring to creating the life that you want. And I just had never made that connection before. So I just want to say thank you for expanding my potential understanding for people when they come and have sessions with me as well. I'm going to suggest that we have you sitting alongside of us now. But it is a beautiful journey. If people wanted to follow you or reach out to you, beautiful Vanessa, how could they do that?
In lots of forms these days, just through Facebook, Instagram, social media, email. I've got a beautiful website. Please have a look at that. But there's some beautiful creations that stem back 5 years ago when I started my business for myself. I created a beautiful opal bikini, and that's worth checking out. So
yeah, that's extraordinary. The website is?
It's vanessanock.com.au. So Nock, N-O-C-K.
com.au. Yeah. And it's under, what is it, under Facebook and Instagram? Is it Vanessa Knopf as well?
Unique. Jeweler. Yeah.
Ness Jeweler. I'll put all of this in the show notes again. Highly recommend that you guys go back and listen to our show 314, because there was some other beautiful gems in there. And that was prior to my journey. Yeah. So I just want everyone to go back and have a listen to that. I just think you're an absolute, excuse the pun on words, but you're a gem. You are such a gorgeous gem. And I've just never met any jeweler like you. Danny and I think I mentioned this on our last podcast. We got to watch our wedding rings being made, and that was probably the first time I got to see, but it was in his shed. There was nothing, with respect, loved what he created and loved everything he did, but it didn't have the beauty and the amazing feminine kind of, I don't know, just joyful environment. It was just, we were totally ensconced in the ring, which was fine. But there's just something extra special. I've never met anyone like you. And that's why I wanted to get you back, because I think women like you need to be shared. And I think your story, your passion, your love, your desire to have others spark joy from your creativity and your creations, there's very few people on the planet. And so from my heart to yours, I just want to say thank you. One final thing I wanted to share is that also on the day that I got to see this beautiful creation, I think it's on your socials as well, my reaction to it, which was so cute, was the fact that what I invested into it with the gold and a little bit of extra cash, actually came back four times the amount in its value. So this has now become a piece that is, in my opinion, a family heirloom. And if my children get it or decide to melt it down at some point in the future, I actually have no problem with that. I would love them to spark their own joy with it. But to know that they've got a piece of jewelry that's worth quite a bit of money, I had no idea it would be worth that, thanks to the price of gold these days. So again, thank you for creating, or helping me to create, an heirloom that I'm incredibly proud of, and certainly feel very, very joyful wearing every day. And I feel really proud of the fact that when people comment on it, I go, there, it's a Vanessa Knopf piece. And they all go, oh, I could tell.
That's happened quite a bit. So lovely. I love that people are actually recognizing this, the sort of style, I suppose. And it's the energy, I think, that I bring in combined with a piece. You know, it's a little bit of an influence, but it's really guided. It's a suggestion. So you get to choose, you know, how it will look. And I just bring in my educated knowledge basically from the industry. And I just love helping people you know, shine from the inside, having that courage and having that confidence even, and to know they're so worthy of having something really beautiful that brings them great energy.
Oh, I was just going to ask you for your final message and a favourite quote. Is there anything you'd add to that with perhaps a favourite quote that you have?
Yeah, recently, I will. So the quote I gave last time was very cliche, shine bright like a diamond. So sometimes your joy is the source of your smile, but sometimes your smile can be the source of your joy.
Oh, I just covered it in truth bumps, just covered. I love this so much. Vanessa, thank you. Thank you from, again, the bottom of my heart. I know that this won't be the last time we do some work together, but I just want to say again, please, you keep shining like a bright diamond. You just exude passion, love, enthusiasm, quality, and elegance that I've never seen in a jeweler. So, again, thank you for being on the Self Love podcast.
Thank you ever so much for the opportunity. Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.